This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
I was busy with work. I serve in the Senate.
Sorry, that was Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell. Very brief comment there on January 6th.
I was busy doing work. I serve in the Senate.
Oh, asked as to whether or not he heard any of the comments made today by the police officers testifying on Capitol Hill. I was busy. I was doing
He doesn't want to hear about the insurrection, that he made these big grandiose statements about it was important to get back in there and certify the election and make sure that the actions of a riotous crowd that tried to keep them from doing the work of the Senate on January 6th. He was too busy to listen to the law enforcement officers who were providing their testimony. Got it, Mitch. I'm so over him.
Mitch McConnell is the Grim Reaper of the United States Senate, and he is extremely effective in doing what he does. And I am disappointed that he did not have a little more to say about the incredible, heartbreaking words that we heard today. I don't know how much of it you watched, Skip, but it was jarring, man.
No, I'll be honest, I didn't watch any of it because we watched it unfold on January 6th, and I knew that I needed to wrap my head around other things this morning before we came in to talk about this. I've been stealing my nerves since 2 o'clock, knowing that we're going to get into it, knowing that I'm going to be incredibly frustrated and angry because you're going to get D-bags like Mitch, who are now like, oh, I was too busy working. And then this argument of, oh, we're, you know, the hearings that are going on are all about the Dems trying to go after the GOP, and the GOP didn't have their people on the list. I'm so tired.
Let's see what Harry Dunn had to say. Harry Dunn is an officer with the Capitol Police Department, and he was one of the folks testifying in front of the House Select Committee earlier today. There's a little bit of
one woman in a pink drag shirt yelled, "You hear that, guys? This voted for Joe Biden." Then the crowd, perhaps around 20 people, joined in screaming, "Boo!" No one had ever, ever called me while wearing the uniform of a Capitol Police officer.
In case it's not clear, the thing that keeps getting dropped out is the N-word. Boo, N-word. Boo, effing N-word. And then Officer Dunn testifies that he had never been called the N-word while standing in the uniform of a Capitol Police officer prior to January 6th.
By individuals who were claiming to be supportive of law enforcement and whatever other nonsense.
There was a tremendous amount of confusion expressed by the officers in that testimony that they gave today, in part because of the presence of thin blue line flags being carried by people who were literally physically attacking them. We have a little bit more here from one of the sergeants who was present on the 6th of January.
It's indescribable. You're defending the undefensible. They don't care what happened to the public. They don't care what happened to the officers. All they care is their job. You're talking about people who claim that they are pro-law enforcement, pro-police, pro-law and order. And then yet, when they have the chance and the opportunity to do something about it, to hold people accountable, you don't.
There's a lot in that vein from the Capitol this morning. Hours of these officers testifying, explaining what they saw on January 6th. What's remarkable to me in this testimony that they offer, it is this unbelievable, intense emotion that keeps coming through. And that's really important. That emotion, that sincerity, is you have to hear it. I don't care who's running the select committee. You have to hear.
Except they're not.
Us four officers, we would do January 6th all over again. We wouldn't stay home because we knew it was going to happen. We would show up. That's courageous. That's heroic.
But instead, Mitch McConnell can't be bothered to show up. And you've got Jim Jordan complaining he wasn't put on, you know, the committee. And so they're not going to listen to the officers. In fact, there are news outlets dragging the officers through the mud already.
I find the news outlets attacking these officers to be indefensible.
To my perpetual confusion, I saw the thin blue line flag, a symbol of support for law enforcement, more than once being carried by the terrorists as they ignored our commands and continued to assault us. A man attempted to rip the baton from my hands, and we wrestled for control. I retained my weapon. After I pushed him back, he yelled at me, "You're on the wrong team." My arms were pinned and effectively useless, trapped against either the shield on my left or the doorframe on my right. With my posture granting me no functional strength or freedom of movement, I was effectively defenseless and gradually sustaining injury from the increasing pressure of the mob.
At the hospital, doctors told me that I had suffered a heart attack, and I was later diagnosed with a concussion, a traumatic brain injury, and post-traumatic stress disorder.
At this point, I knew I couldn't sustain much more damage and remain upright. At best, I would collapse and be a liability to my colleagues. At worst, be dragged out into the crowd and lynched. Unable to move or otherwise signal the officers behind me that I needed to fall back, I did the only thing that I could do and screamed for help.
As I was swarmed by a violent mob, they ripped off my badge. They grabbed and stripped me of my radio. They seized ammunition that was secured to my body. They began to beat me with their fists and with what felt like hard metal objects.
Every American needs to hear every word that comes out of these officers' mouths. Instead of the usual partisan saber-rattling crap that's happening on the 24-hour infotainment networks right now, they should be playing this testimony uninterrupted, unpolluted by the chattering class and their editorializing and their spin.
That's the only way we can get back on track with what happened January 6th, because that's been this ongoing issue. Because you and I called it what it was from the beginning, which was an insurrection. And to say that it was just a bunch of grandmas walking around the Capitol floor and, oh, they got lost, I didn't know I couldn't come in over the broken glass, is not an accurate depiction of those days or that day.
That's exactly right. And the accuracy in this is essential. And what we saw today, the testimony that was given today, and I mean this. Pull it up. Look it up on YouTube. Look it up at FoxNews.com. Look it up at CNN.com. Look it up at ABC. Go to KMJNow.com. We got a bunch of it up there. And sit and listen to what these officers went through. Really understand what that crowd was like. But also understand that we are not going to get a complete picture because this has been turned into by the cable news networks and by Nancy Pelosi. It's been turned into a partisan charade.
Well, look.
No, it's been turned into a partisan charade.
There was an attempt to try and get a nonpartisan investigation, and we didn't want that. And then, yeah, Pelosi and what's his name from Bakersfield have been going back and forth. But
Skip, with all due respect, Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The responsibility for the security of the Capitol is with her office, period. It is her job. The failure to give those officers backup, to give them adequate resources, begins and ends at Nancy Pelosi's desk, period. And trying to turn this into, well, Jim Jordan's a schmuck, doesn't change the fact that Nancy Pelosi did not give these officers the resources that they damn well should have had, because this crowd was not a surprise. It wasn't a surprise. The FBI had been warning the Speaker's office for weeks in advance of January 6th that they needed to have resources on the ground to deal with a large, unruly, and potentially violent crowd. We need to hear Officer Fanone. We need to hear every one of those men that sat up there and talked about what they survived. Harry Dunn getting screamed at and called the N-word by a bunch of psychos and lunatics. And do those nuts need to be held accountable? Of course they do. But well, so does Nancy Pelosi.
Well, and look, I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi either, but if we go back and start digging into the fact that the Capitol Police was not, they were not given accurate information, the National Guard was not called in. I'm not a fan of her. I'm not going to stand up here and defend her and get caught up in the rigmarole of going back and forth of it's Nancy's fault and blah, blah, blah. There were multiple times along this timeline of events that were seriously problematic.
Sure.
And following, and then when it was happening, when people were calling for the head of Mike Pence, the vice president, to try and stop a system that has been put in place from the beginning, that didn't happen. And then the subsequent anger and ire to get in and certify the election and move forward with that on January 6th. And Mitch McConnell himself saying, we will not be stopped. We will persevere, all those things. And then today can't be bothered. This is a absolutely partisan, not like just like full on nonsense. But when it comes back to this hearing today and listening to law enforcement say we were being targeted, like all of the arguments about how it was just not that big a deal or let's move on or whitewash it or minimize the violence of it. Like, you want to be pro cop, then you got to listen to what these guys have to say.
There's no argument that the people who have tried to gloss this over and have tried to, for the sake of political advantage, spin this are disgusting. That's a nonpartisan statement. If you were out there talking about how these were a bunch of tourists, you're a dirtbag. If you were responsible for security and you knew that a problem was coming down the line and you did nothing, I need to know why. I have to know why. And that's why what's going on now, I approve. I want to hear from these officers. I want to hear from Dunn and Ginnell. I want to hear from Hodges. But I don't want to pretend for a minute that all of the trouble started on January 6th, because it did not. Terrible, inexcusable mistakes were made leading up to the riot. And we're not going to get those answers with the current panel that's been assembled by Nancy Pelosi.
Well, not with people pulling out and saying they're not going to do it. The same people who didn't vote to certify the election.
Again, with retroactive partisan bickering, I need to know what happened in the days leading up. More on this to come, and your calls if you want, 490-5858. It's Philip and Skip on KMJ.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580-1059, KMJ.
So we're talking about the emotional testimony that is coming from the January 6th hearings on the Capitol. And I wanted to provide some background. Philip, you and I were talking about whether or not the Speaker Pelosi is in charge and responsible for failing to follow through with planning leading up to the insurrection on January 6th. And there was actually something, there was a lot of stuff floating around. And so AP back in January provided some fact checking after posts were falsely citing Pelosi as responsible. That's false. She does not oversee day-to-day operations of the Capitol Police. There is stuff that's involved in budgets and whatnot, but she does not have control over day-to-day operations or officer assignments. That fell squarely into the laps of three security officials who resigned almost immediately following January 6th. That includes, where did they go? Oh, gosh. It was the police chief and then like a sergeant at arms and one other spot. Sorry, I scrolled ahead here. But the point being, if we go back, there was a failure there. And then here we are. And look, I don't want to defend Nancy Pelosi. I'm going to go with Matthew's take, hot garbage.
Yeah, I'm struggling with it's not Nancy's job. Of course, Nancy Pelosi isn't responsible for the day-to-day assignments of the Capitol Police officers. That would be ridiculous. She's the Speaker of the House of Representatives, but she is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The Sergeant at Arms answers to her, and the Sergeant at Arms is responsible for coordinating with the Capitol Police for security at the Capitol building. I mean, this is like saying that I'm not to blame for the decisions made by my gardener. You know, I am when he's on my property. Likewise, Nancy Pelosi, as Speaker of the House, is responsible for input from the Sergeant at Arms and overseeing security for the Capitol. But no, she wouldn't give a shift clock, shift schedule to the Capitol police officers. But yeah, the responsibility rests with her, just not on who was put at which door.
Let's not get into this back and forth because you and I are just going to end up in a fight and that's not going to be fun. Can we talk about January 6th and the hearings that are happening and then moving forward from it without falling into where it gets back and forth? Because this is exactly what's happening on the cable news network. It's exactly what's happening in the rooms with the hearings.
Skip.
What do we do?
But this is exactly my frustration. I don't want this to be about Mitch McConnell pretending that he's not paying attention to this. I don't want this to be about Chuck Schumer immediately gloating that Mitch McConnell said the wrong thing and sending out another fundraising email. I don't want this to be about Kevin McCarthy and Nancy Pelosi punching each other in the nose over Jim Jordan and his cuckoo bird notice me antics. I don't want that. But what the hell are these officers testifying about if we aren't looking for where the buck stops, for who is responsible? Because the fact is that responsibility for what happened on January 6th doesn't just sit with one person. It doesn't just sit with the boneheads. I mean, do you really think Jacob Chauncey overwhelms Capitol Police simply by virtue of walking up to the door? Or do you think that maybe an understaffed group got overwhelmed despite intelligence information flowing to all of the people who should have known better? And doesn't that matter?
It does. And I could point to lots of discrepancies in the understaffing of this event and the rally leading up to it, right? If we're going to be honest and look at the big picture and say some of the other events that were happening related to social justice movements in the Capitol in the months before, there was the ability to get people there and have enough people there, but it wasn't called out. The National Guard wasn't called out.
I'm sorry. You're talking about previous events like the March for Our Lives, for instance. Was there any report from any intelligence agency that the March for Our Lives crowd presented the same threat as the January 6th insurrectionists?
There have been many marches and demonstrations in Washington, D.C. in the last year where there have been lots of people who have come out, lots of law enforcement out there. January 6th was underwhelmingly staffed. And then we saw what happened.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's the thing. You and I are actually arguing for the same thing. We knew that there was a threat. Our intelligence agencies knew that there was a threat, a real, credible, picking up chatter, domestic terrorism type threat. And they reported that threat repeatedly, well enough in advance of the 6th of January that the people who call the shots should have called for a damn sight more reinforcement for those officers. Do I think that you've still got the 500 or so people who have been arrested, who every single one of them deserves every second of jail time or prison time that their sentencing guidelines allow for? Yep. But I don't think that, I don't think the Capitol Police, I don't think the American people, I don't think that the Congress itself and its members therein benefit from pretending that there isn't a point at which responsibility must stand.
Do you think that that's going to come from these testimony? Well, from the panel that's taking place right now? Because, again, I go back to, we tried to have a nonpartisan investigation of this and that didn't happen, and now it's absolutely played into this partisan thing where now folks that are not on the task force or the panel, rather, sorry, I'm still learning the words,
yeah,
are now saying, well, since I wasn't there, it doesn't include me, we're not going to listen. And then the downplay of the actual violence that happened. I'll point to this because I think you were prepared. There's an argument that it wasn't really an insurrection, and I know we need to get to news. So that would actually be a great point to come back to.
That what we saw on January
6th. Yeah, there wasn't. It was a riot. We've at least got a riot, but it's not an insurrection.
We will most definitely deal with that claim when we get back from news.
We must know what happened here at the Capitol.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
On that day, I participated in the defense of the United States Capitol from an armed mob. I remain proud of the work of the United States Capitol Police and MPD officers who literally commit their lives to protecting the safety of each of you and all of us in this room. In our nation's capital. In the midst of that intense and chaotic scene, Commander Kyle remained cool, calm, and collected as he gave commands to his officers. "Hold the line," he shouted over the roar. Of course, that day, the line was the seat of our American government.
At this point, I knew I couldn't sustain much more damage and remain upright. At best, I would collapse and be a liability to my colleagues. At worst, be dragged out into the crowd and lynched. Unable to move or otherwise signal the officers behind me that I needed to fall back, I did the only thing that I could do and screamed for help.
Officers Daniel Hodges, Michael Fanone, it's News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Testimony from the Capitol today about what happened at the Capitol on January 6th, four officers, four unbelievably hard-to-hear stories, and four testimonies that every American should listen to in full.
And I'm afraid we'll get lost in the shuffle of the bipartisanship. Because rather than take the step back and be able to listen to that in the way that we just played it, and instead there's the automatic, I feel like, knee-jerk reaction sometimes and inability to look critically. So, for instance, there's this whole conspiracy that's going around about who shot Ashley Babbitt, the woman who was out of her mind trying to break through a window, and she was shot by law enforcement who was they were holding their ground behind barricaded doors. But that person has somehow now turned into some sort of icon. But there was even this. We've moved forward from saying it was a friendly crowd roaming around to an individual recognizing it was a riot. So we're getting somewhere. But Randy says it was not an insurrection and points to a federal statute against insurrection.
Insurrection.
From dictionary.com. Noun. A violent uprising against an authority or government. What happened on January 6th was an insurrection. And arguing that it wasn't an insurrection because your particular political proclivities make it inconvenient to acknowledge that a group of violent lunatics tried to undermine the American Constitution by forcing their way into the Senate floor and threatening the lives of our elected representatives, up to and including Mike Pence, who they were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," at while standing on a gallows. Sorry that it doesn't fit your narrative, but that's what's real. Objective, empirical reality. It fits the definition of insurrection. If you don't like it, do something about it. Listen to these officers' testimony and then get in touch with your people, your elected representatives, and demand that they seek answers as to what the hell happened and how this was allowed to get as out of control as it was. But pretending that it's opposite day and that if you just say words don't mean anything, somehow nothing bad happened is at best, morally obtuse.
And what's happened in the 6+ months since what happened on January 6th has been a public gaslighting of what happened January 6th. Minimizing, changing the narrative, moving past it. I don't want to be right here, but it's already started, the character assassination of the officers that are up there participating in the hearings because they've been subpoenaed and called to do so. And that's where I agree. I want to continue to play the testimony from the officers, because the does not compute that had to have been going through their heads as they're trying to protect the Capitol, understaffed with a big group of people coming towards them. Some of them,
to my perpetual confusion, I saw.
Oh, really? Thank you, ABCs, for reloading the damn thing in the middle of that. To his perpetual confusion, he saw coming through the crowd insurrectionists bearing the thin blue line flag.
And that's the piece where there has to be a reckoning about what happened then without glossing over, without the political spin, without the head in the sand. Oh, it wasn't that big of a deal, but whataboutism that we've been pushing back with since then. And it's just frustrating and heartbreaking and depressing about the state of things. Personally, I mean, like I love it here. I love the United States of America, but can we actually like fix what happened and make sure this isn't like a new normal every time we have an election?
No one had ever, ever called me a while wearing the uniform of a Capitol Police officer.
490-5858 is the number. Let's hear from Lance. Welcome to KMJ.
Yes. Hello. I want to talk about a couple key words. Accountability, justice, and evidence. We need to hear from those officers, like you said, but we also need to hear all the evidence. Why haven't we seen any of the video evidence? Because I believe there were rioters there, there were protesters there, and then there were people that need to be held accountable because they were insurrectionists. It is interesting that until January 6th, the Democrats could not find that word in their vocabulary from the days forward of George Floyd until January 6th. But why are they hiding evidence?
What evidence is it that you think they're hiding, Lance?
All the video evidence from the Capitol building.
What video evidence? I mean, I've seen hours of video evidence from the Capitol building.
There have been FOIA requests made by multiple agencies that have not been fulfilled, requesting more video footage.
Yeah, but the cap-toothed goober with a Facebook page, is not going to get a rapid response to a FOIA request for one of the single biggest news events to have happened in all of our living memories. What is it that you think is being withheld, Lance? I don't understand where you're going, man.
Well, we hear the testimony of these officers, and I'm prone to believe them, but let's see when those officers describe these horrific scenes. Let's see that, like, because we do need to hold the people accountable who did those things.
Lance, real quick, there is video, actually. Like, some of the main faces that we're seeing are on video taken from the people in the crowd and posted up online because they were bragging about where they were at and what they were doing.
Right. There are multiple agencies, not little bloggers, big agencies that have requested footage that are not getting that footage. And you touched on the Ashley Babbitt issue. You know, the Democrats were calling the police all last summer stormtroopers. There was insurrections going against federal installations throughout the country.
Lance, I got to push back on you here because I know where your storyline is. I'd probably be five steps ahead of you with your copy points and bullet points on Ashley Babbitt. Ashley Babbitt, in her own posts online, was out of her mind, angry, pissed, and went charging through a barricaded door. Unfortunately, she had more guts or was smaller, I guess, to be able to fit through a broken window, but she was charging at law enforcement on the other side. So should they have not shot her because she's a female? Like, she was dangerous.
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying last year we had a cop who shot a girl who was trying to stab two other girls.
Got it.
Lance, I appreciate the call. I can because it's important to highlight what he's talking about. In the case of some of these officers who are being protested, the post George Floyd Black Lives Matter, when a cop shoots a citizen, people go out and say something about it. One of the things that I think Lance is getting convoluted from where I stand is that, yes, are there people who go out and under the cover of legitimate protest behave badly? Yep, and they need to be found and prosecuted. But all of those stories started with somebody getting shot. Ashley Babbitt got shot trying to break down a barrier to get at a police officer defending the nation's capital. The riot was already happening, and she was a part of it.
Well, and she was front and center with promoting her conspiracy stuff. I mean, like, you can go back. You can see the mental space that Ashley Babbitt was in was very much about defending freedom and going to right the wrongs on January 6th. And the demand, look, go ahead, release the officer's name. I don't have a vested interest in either. But the fact, this whole thing about, I guess, canonizing or idolizing Ashley Babbitt is very much tied to folks like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, and Matt Gaetz.
I have a very hard time wrapping my head around the lauding of Ricky Schroeder for paying Kyle Rittenhouse's bail and then turning around and demanding that this officer's name be made public so that trolls and doxers can attack him. It doesn't track for me. But again, I want to look at January 6th, not every bad thing that ever happened in the course of human history.
We spent the armed violence because we were in a war zone. But nothing my experience in the Army or as a law enforcement officer prepared me for what we confronted on January 6th. I'm still recovering from those hugs and kisses that day that he claimed that so many rioters, terrorists, were assaulting us that day.
If that's what American tourists are like, I can see why foreign countries don't like American tourists.
I wish I would have been there to be able to be a part of that committee to listen to their stories, but I've listened to Harry's story and others, and I want to help them. But the bottom line is, there are questions that have to be answered about why the security posture failed.
At this point, I knew I couldn't sustain much more damage and remain upright. At best, I would collapse and be a liability to my colleagues. At worst, be dragged out into the crowd and lynched. Unable to move or otherwise signal the officers behind me that I needed to fall back, I did the only thing that I could do and screamed for help. To my perpetual confusion, I saw the thin blue line flag, a symbol of support for law enforcement, more than once being carried by the terrorists as they ignored our commands and continued to assault us.
It's Philip and Skip on your afternoon drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9. KMJ, talking about testimony today on Capitol Hill, four officers sitting before a committee put together by Nancy Pelosi, two Republicans on the committee, although both of them vocally anti-Trump Republicans, which is, and I know it's frustrating because I don't want this to be about red team, blue team anymore. I want this to be about figuring out what the hell happened, who's responsible for what happened, and how it's going to lead to, A, the successful prosecution of people guilty of criminal acts against our country and against our law enforcement community, and B, how we are going to prevent similar behavior going forward.
Well, and unfortunately, this is the best we're going to get, right? Because many of the officers that were testifying today, and these testimonies will continue, had become increasingly politically active in recent months, trying to lobby to get enough votes for an outside commission to investigate this. But that was shot down as being a witch hunt. Not necessary. This one's going to be happening. And then this one happened, and then there was the back and forth between McCarthy and Pelosi over who was going to be on the panel or not. But there was one kind of quote in this opening day that I think is important and worth restating, and that is, this moment requires a serious, clear-eyed, nonpartisan approach. We are duty-bound to conduct a full investigation on the worst attack on the Capitol since 1814 and to make sure it can never happen again.
Do you think that we will get anything that even remotely resembles serious answers out of this committee? Or do you think that we're going to get a lot of emotion and a handful of fundraising opportunities?
I think that you will get the latter, but I definitely think that the emotion displayed today by the law enforcement that was under attack absolutely deserves the platform it was given.
Yeah. The law enforcement community, the Capitol Police, absolutely deserve to be heard. I hope it does some good. I just don't have a lot of faith in Pelosi's power.